Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 97, Overcoming Insecurity. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in the Practical Applications from Bible Characters series on October 13th, 2019.
The title of my message is Overcoming Insecurity. So it's awesome that that God has made a way to that you and I and all of us can be overcomers. The Bible says that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So whatever things that we're facing, God is always there for us. And if God's for us, who can be against us? Amen? So in the Bible, there's what we call the Hall of Faith. You find that Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. The Hall of Faith is comprised of a compelling variety of characters. It's amazing, really, to me, and maybe to you as well, how God uses ordinary people to do supernatural, super extraordinary kinds of things. And when you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about all these men and women of God and the extraordinary things that they did, and then you think back about their origins and how God found them when he started working in their lives, it's a source of amazement, but it's also a source of encouragement because God is really, really practical. He knew it would be important for us to find ourselves somewhere in the story. So when you're reading those stories about those men and the women of the Bible, you can find your place there. You can find that's kind of like how I am. And you can relate to it. And because you can relate to it, then you can begin to get a vision for your life that God really wants to use you in extraordinary ways, even though you may feel insignificant, even though you may feel insecure about things, even though you may feel ill-equipped sometimes to do what God has called you to do or what you're asked to do. You know, a lot of times Tanya was challenging you to be part of our Revive Engage. You maybe feel insecure about that. Most people do feel insecure and sometimes a little intimidated. I'll be honest with you, when I go out in the streets and I minister, whether it's here or in a foreign country, I feel a little bit intimidated as well because it's not my best suit because maybe my calling is different, but everybody's calling is to minister the gospel, amen? So whether you're called to be a preacher, whether you're called to be a carpenter, or whether you're called to be a secretary, your main calling with God is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He said, this will happen. This is what will happen when my power comes on you. You'll be my witness to me in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So nobody's off the hook. If you got the Holy Spirit, you got him, and he's got you. Amen? And so you should be ready to go. So when you find yourself in the story, he encourages you and he propels you to be counted among those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Because with every kind of calling, with every kind of task God gives you to do, he has some promises attached to that, as we heard during the offering message today. Praise the Lord. So the writer that's writing this chapter, Hebrew chapter 11, or this letter to the Hebrews, he expresses really some frustration about his inability to include all the great men and women of God in his summary to recount the credibility of their faith. So he continues it this way in verse 32. He says, "What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith, that is, with an enduring trust in God and his promises, subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouths of lions, extinguished the power of the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became mighty and unbeatable in battle, putting the enemy of horses to flight." So he's frustrated that he can't include everybody. He included a lot of people in Hebrews chapter 11, the first verses, but now he's not able to express himself well enough or to include everybody because of time or space or whatever constraints he had, and he's a little bit frustrated. So I thought this morning when we're looking into the series about practical applications from Bible characters to talk about one of those people, the first one on his list of, what shall I say, the man Gideon. In the book of Judges, it recounts in Judges chapter 6, kind of the situation, the first few verses of the chapter, the situation that Israel found themselves in. They were being attacked by the Midianites. The Midianites were basically bankrupting the country. They were raiding the country. Every time there was a harvest, they'd come and steal the harvest. They were totally destroying the economy of the people there. And so people were just barely getting by and eking out a living. And then when they got something, the Midianites would come down and steal it. So it was a very dire situation. And it seems like there was a lack of leadership. There was a lack of defense. There was a lack of organization. This was a time of Israel when there were no kings. There were just judges. And so it seems like there's a big vacuum there. So in verse 11, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath a great tree at Ophrah." That's not Oprah Winfrey, I don't think. I don't think it was her tree, but it was a great tree, evidently, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And then look at verse 13. Gideon begins to speak back, and he says, "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and has handed us over to the Midianites." Verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said," now I don't know if the Lord and the angel are the same, but it says the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." So, wow, that's pretty direct. He had a visitation from God, a visitation, a supernatural visitation of an angel, and he's complaining basically to God, to this angel, to whoever, about the situation and the circumstances that they found themselves in. And then the Lord speaks to him and said, "Look, you're the answer. You're the solution to this problem. Go, I'm sending you." That sort of sounds like the Great Commission, doesn't it? Where Jesus told his disciples, "Look, I'm sending you. Go preach the gospel to all the world," and so forth. Verse 15, Gideon's a normal person, so he makes some excuses, right? "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." But the Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." So this morning, if you've been battered and harassed, there's hope for you. If you've been through some problems and troubles, there's hope for you. If the future doesn't look very bright to you, there's hope for you. Because like Gideon, there's some words the Lord wants to speak to you this morning. And they're exactly the same things that he said to Gideon. "I will be with you." The Lord wants you to know that he is with you. If insecurity and insignificance is gnawing at your soul, there's hope for you this morning. Because he's made you to be an overcomer by the blood of Jesus and by the words of your testimony. I want us to take a look this morning at Isaiah chapter 41, because I believe in this, in a couple of short verses in Isaiah 41, there should be hope and encouragement for you and a path out of whatever your situation is, whatever you're facing, and a way to overcome every kind of insecurity, fear, discouragement, and all those things. Isaiah 41, verse 9 says, "I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, You are my servant, for I have chosen you. I will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Now, personally, I learned those verses in a new way for the first time when I was faced with a really, really serious situation. I was in a business that went upside down. I was sued for more money than I knew was in the world. I had a partner who defaulted and left me with all the bills. And I had no way out and a lot of pressure from the IRS, from the creditors, from everybody, and from some wrong things that my business partner had done. So it was a very, very difficult situation. And when I got the lawsuit, I mean, that was the kind of the cap of the things. And I looked at that thing and I began to shake and was fearful because I had a small family. My kids were little. House wasn't paid off. And the cash in the bank was diminishing. And now we were being sued for more than what we had. And so I picked that up and I looked at it and fear gripped my heart. But the Lord spoke to me that morning and showed me this scripture from Isaiah chapter 41. It said, don't be afraid. I've chosen you. I won't throw you away. Don't be discouraged. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So I said that morning, you know, Lord, I'm still really fearful, but I tell you what, I'm not going to even appear in court when this says I'm supposed to appear in court until I can pick up this piece of paper and laugh. And so for days, I didn't pick up the piece of paper because every time I thought about picking it up, fear gripped my heart. So I would go back to this scripture and begin to meditate on it. And as I meditate on it, I would get encouraged and go about my business for the day. And it was a tough time, really struggling time, really desperate time. But God saw us through day by day by day by day. He showed us a way out. And many times when we were stretched, we had to sow seed in times of need to see blessing come in just for that week and sometimes just for that day. But we always learned the principle worked when we took proactive steps to do it. So to make a longer story short, for about 30 days or maybe more, I didn't pick up that piece of paper. I never did get to the place where it said what day the court date was because I just didn't want to deal with it until I could pick that up and laugh. And then one morning, I read this scripture and I went into my office and I thought, you know what? He said he's with me. He said he would lift me up with his victorious right hand. If God is for me, who can be against me? And I picked up the piece of paper and I began to laugh. And I can't tell you how fast it was. Within a split second, the Lord spoke to me and gave me some instructions and told me what to do. He told me a person to call, an attorney that I had met on one occasion at a prayer meeting somewhere. I had his card and it was laying on my desk and I didn't know this person. I mean, he didn't know me. We just had met, shook hands, gave me a card. And he said, call him. So I called him. I said, sir, you know, I don't know you very well. I just met you at this meeting. He says, yeah, I recall meeting you and so forth and so on. And after the pleasantries, he said, well, what are you calling me about? And I said, well, I have a big problem. And he said, well, tell me about it. So I described to him the situation and I read to him from the summons. And he said, send me a copy of it and maybe I can do something to help you. I'll get back to you. So I sent him the copy. And about 10 days later, he gave me a call. And this is what he said. The case has been dismissed. And he never sent me a bill. I thought, that was amazing. Now, we still weren't out of trouble. We had a lot of problems and situations and circumstances and things to face, and we had a long trip out, but God was faithful. just like he was faithful on that day when that was dismissed. That was the biggest weight that was on me. And the greatest fear and intimidation had come over me. And I learned how to conquer fear. From that day to this, I can't remember a time that I was afraid like that. So let's look at these verses again. The first thing it says is that God has chosen you. You're a chosen servant. So if God's chosen you, that means he's not done with you. Amen? So you might be facing difficulties, might be facing health issues, might be facing financial issues, might be facing problems in marriage, problems with family, problems with work, problems with situations in your life. But God has chosen you. You're his servant. In John 15, verse 16, Jesus even repeated this same type of promise. He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Wow, that's a great promise, isn't it? He's chosen you. He's appointed you. Your life is going to be fruitful. And by the way, you can ask the Father anything in my name and he's going to give it to you. That's pretty amazing. You know, Pastor Don was sharing about, you know, looking at the word and obeying it. But just look at the word here and see the promise that Jesus has made to you. It's better than Visa, American Express. It's better than any kind of charge card. It's better than any kind of benefit plan. Jesus said, I chose you. I appointed you so you can make fruitful, so you have a fruitful life. And so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Now, I can assure you, this is tremendously underused, that promise. And the reason it's tremendously underused is because, for the most part, we don't really believe it. We say, yeah, I understand it, but do we really believe it? Do you really believe that when you ask the Father something in Jesus' name, and he said we could ask whatever, maybe he was a teenager, I don't know. He said, whatever you ask, you can have because you've got my name. You've got the authority of my name. So if you're facing a situation, a circumstance in your life that's tough, that's challenging you, intimidating you, or making you feel insecure, just remember, he's chosen you, and he's given you this kind of a promise that's better than any promise any man, any person, any living being could make you. Whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give it to you. Now, if you use that in your circumstance, your situation, whatever's challenging you, whatever's intimidating you or making you feel inferior, that means that there's solutions and answers to your issue, to your problem, to your situation, and he's going to come through for you. The second thing we see there is that God is with you. He's not only chosen you, but he says, I am with you. On this side of the cross, it's even better yet. He's come to live inside of you. And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So if you take those two promises together, first of all, he's chosen you, and now you know he's with you, or better yet, he's in you. You've got the winning side inside of you. John 15, verse 16 says, I'm sorry, John 14, verse 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That was the promise that Jesus made to his disciples before the Holy Spirit was sent. But now Jesus has gone to the cross. Jesus went to the grave. Jesus came out of the grave. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and to abide with you forever. And he's not taking him away. So the good news is God's chosen you, but the better news is he's in you. He's with you and he's in you. He's not leaving you like an orphan. He's not abandoning you. He's coming to you. So cheer up, because he's your God. That's why I said, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. You're a chosen servant. I'm with you. And finally, God is here to help you. He said, I will help you. He promises strength to the weary in face of weakness. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, because he cares for you. He promises strength to you. He's here to help you. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you strength in the face of weakness. He's going to give you blessing where there's an absence or a lack in your life. So give all your worries to him. He will hold you up. He's not going to let you sink, just like he didn't let Peter sink when Peter walked on the water. But not only that, he's going to hold you up with his right hand of victory. So here's what you can take away from that. Defeat does not belong to you. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, defeat is not in your, should not be in your vocabulary and should not be in your repertoire, because defeat does not belong to you. Victory belongs to you. So don't own the defeat. Don't be backing up and looking back and looking over your shoulder. Be looking forward and going forward with God. He's holding you up with his victorious right hand. No matter how bad it looks today, it's about to change because the sword is turning. He's on your side. Praise the Lord. So he's chosen you. He's with you. He's in you. And he's here to help you. We're going to take a few minutes right now and consider that scripture, and then we're going to come back and close. There's a couple observations. What weapons has God given to you to defeat your enemies? Insecurity, fear, discouragement. And how do we apply that? Outline some steps that you can take this week to conquer these enemies. And we'll be right back, and we will conclude the message. God bless you as you split into groups. All right, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41 again. And this time we want to just wrap up this message with verse 11. These are the results of God choosing you, of him being with you, and of him helping you. Isaiah 41:11. See, all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and will come to nothing. Now that might be people. It might be the devil. I mean, it might be the enemies that are attacking you spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. It might be people at work. What he's saying is, you may have some problems, but if you got problems that are caused by someone else, that are caused by others, I'll take care of it. I've got you covered. I'm going to take care of your enemies. You don't have to fight them. The battle's not yours. It's mine, and I'll take care of it. Verse 12 says, you will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
He's talking to you. So if you've got some challenges in your life, God is saying to you, I've chosen you. I'm with you. I'm helping you. And all that stuff will come to nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N. G. Verse 13 says, for I hold you by your right hand, I the Lord your God, and I'm saying to you, don't be afraid, I'm here to help you. I think that's great news. I think that's wonderful news. You see, God is working with you. He is with you, and he's working in you, and he's preparing you for great opportunities to minister into the lives of others. A lot of times the experiences that we're going through have to do with others more than they have to do with us. because out of those things, we can reach out and minister to others in a powerful way. So he's working with you, and he'll give you great opportunities to minister into other people's lives. And at the same time, he's preparing those people to receive something. Sometimes we don't see that. We can't figure it out, you know, because we think we have to figure everything out, I guess, is our first problem. But we can't figure it out that we're going through this, and God's preparing us, and he's helping us, and he's with us, and all of those things. But he's also talking to somebody on the other side that you're going to help, that you're going to minister, and he's preparing them, getting them ready to receive. Tanya's testimony this morning was a great one of, you know, how God had prepared people just to receive the time that they were there to minister at that nursing home. Praise the Lord. So here's a great story that really illustrates that. We'll close with this story about the amazing power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is Joachim Lundqvist from Uppsala, Sweden. And it's from a message called Spirit Comes, Church Goes. You can find it on Gateway. But we're going to just take a small clip from that because I think it illustrates this.
I realized, there was one more thing going on here. The Spirit seems to be doing not only one thing, but actually two things on the day of Pentecost. He's stirring boldness and courage in his baby church to fulfill the Great Commission. But he's also stirring curiosity in the people on the street. It seems he's preparing one group to share, and at the same time, he's preparing another group to receive. He's preparing one group to speak, and at the same time, preparing another group to listen. You could say that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is writing a big exclamation mark above his church, but at the same time also writing a big question mark over the world. And actually, we started to teach that in our church. And as we come together on a day like this, worshiping the Lord and encountering his presence, we believe that at the same time, that there will be a father or a daughter or a neighbor or a friend or a colleague, someone out there in this city whose hearts are being prepared to receive the gospel that you are being prepared to share. Because the Spirit does both things at the same time. Now, let me tell you a story about this guy from back home. He was a 25-year-old Muslim immigrant, and he ended up in Sweden. He came from the Middle East to Sweden, now trying to make a life in this very cold nation. He ended up in a city about 1 hour north of where we are. And last summer, he had a very confusing experience. He had the same dream every single night as he was sleeping. In his dream, he saw this big auditorium where thousands of people were standing like this. Now, this guy has never been to a church, had no idea about Christianity, and couldn't relate to what was going on. Why did he keep seeing this auditorium? And why were the people standing like this? So he got out on the streets of the Swedish city and started to ask people randomly, "Excuse me, do you know of a big auditorium where thousands of people stand like this?" People of Dallas, Texas, you need to know, Swedes don't talk to one another, okay? We are socially invalids compared to you guys. We go into a store here and do some shopping. There will be someone saying, "Hi, how are you doing? What can I do for you? Where are you from? What brought you here? Have a nice day." All that thing. And if you walk into a store in Sweden, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So this guy didn't get any answers whatsoever. So he started thinking, well, the auditorium that appears in my dreams is a big place. So probably it's in the capital of Sweden, which is Stockholm, by the way. So he got on a train to go to Stockholm to find this mysterious auditorium where thousands of people stand like this. As you go from his city to Stockholm, the last place you stop by, the last city before Stockholm, is our city, Uppsala. So he passed our city, went to Stockholm, arrived at the platform, got out of the train, and there's a guy standing there. Now this young Muslim has never seen this guy before, but this guy walks straight up to him and says, "Hey man, you went one station too far. You need to go back one station." So this Muslim says, "Thank you. And he goes back on the train, and he goes back one station to our city. And he gets out of the train, walks up to the first person he sees and asks, "Excuse me, do you know of a big auditorium where thousands of people stand like this?" And this guy says, "That's Word of Life Church. Everybody knows that." So he gets directions to our church. This is a Saturday night. Our Saturday night service is going on. He steps into the church, the first time this young man has ever been to a church. As he steps into the auditorium, he recognizes the auditorium in detail. He recognized the balconies, the color schemes, the stage, and the thousands of people standing like this, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing he hears as he enters, is me giving the altar call. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. He hears the gospel, he lifts his hand, and he accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Can we make some noise in church? And to me, this speaks volumes as the efforts God is ready to make to just have one more soul come within the reach of the gospel. He would give someone a dream and put it on repeat. He would place an angel on the Stockholm train station, and he will make sure that this guy comes within the reach of the gospel. Truly, God prepares us to speak, but he also preparing the world to listen. Can we?
So I thought that illustrated perfectly what we've been talking about. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are preparing us. You're preparing us to go, and you're preparing hearts to receive. So as we go out this weekend, this next weekend, Lord, into the streets of this city, we thank you for preparing hearts already. We thank you, Father, for making a place for your gospel to come to them, your good news to come to them. And we thank you, Father, for sending out people who are prepared to speak, people who are prepared to minister, people who are prepared to pour the life of God into those who have great needs. Thank you, Father, for moving in our city in a powerful way, in an awesome way by your Spirit. Thank you for empowering your people to go. And thank you, Father, for talking to people about receiving everywhere that we go. And for it, we're grateful, thankful, and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Father, now bless these who are here this day. I thank you, Father, that whatever challenges that they face, Lord, you are with them today. You are in them today. You've chosen them today, and you are helping them today. Thank you, Father God, for moving in a powerful way, an awesome way, Father, to enter into their circumstances and situations, to turn them totally around, and use them as an opportunity to minister into the lives of many others. We give you all the glory and praise for what you're doing, because Jesus, you really are the Lord, and we're listening to you this day. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.